deep breathing, whatever. But no.
No.
All right. Not so far.
Not so
far. You get a little further north, it get a little typical. When you get up to Silverton, they have a bunch of T-shirts that say, bring your own oxygen.
Oh, okay.
You get about over 9,000 feet up there. Little crazy. But
yeah, that's weird.
But between the two of you, you've witnessed almost every era of a modern television and theater. What still surprises you about acting today?
That's a good question.
I have one right on the tip of my tongue.
Go, Pat.
That the actual game of acting hasn't changed at all. And so although the technology and from TV to radio to, all that. It really is still about the basics, which is pretending.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Acting, reacting. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Kathleen, you've worked everywhere from soap operas to regional theater.
Yes.
Does stepping into a staged reading like Playfest feel freeing, or because the audience gets to use their imagination more because the play's not set in stone? I mean, how is this different?
Let's be honest. The first thing is we don't have to memorize lines.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh yeah, that's a good.
That's always nice, right?
When I was working on a daytime show, sometimes I remember the most I had to memorize was 40 pages.
Oh.
In a day.
Wow.
And that was live?
And yes. Well, no, we moved to tape by that point.
Did.
But the point is that it was like doing a one-act play every single day in the daytime industry when I was on it.
Mm.
And you would get together with the company, you try and rehearse, I'm telling you, in each other's dressing rooms before your scenes had to go. This was on All My Children back in New York City, where I'm originally from.
Yeah.
And boy, it just kept us on our toes, and it was good for the brain.
Yeah.
The brain is still working, thank goodness. So the reading allows us the opportunity, one, to explore the playwright's words.
Uh-huh.
When we have a wonderful director working with us at Durango Playfest, who is helping shape and work with the playwright as we go along. Mm-hmm. The playwright is Zoe Stanton.
Director is Melissa.
Yes, and thank you. And it was wonderful to be this collaborative. It's a very exciting and interesting process to watch something grow, from a creative point of view. And we all bring every skill we've had, and of course, at our age now, because we're playing two old broads in this play, our history,
okay.
We get to bring it to
And Melissa set a tone in the room on day one,
uh-huh.
and that where we all are, we all respect one another,
mm-hmm.
and we all count on each other, and we're not afraid to say anything mm-hmm. or try anything.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen always.
Yeah.
So she's really good.
Good. I like to hear that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Patty, you played unforgettable characters since The Bad Seed.
Right.
After all these years, I know for me and for most actors out there, it's the butterflies. It's that rush. How do you keep those butterflies alive? And what keeps them going for you before walking on the stage?
I know. Huh. Usually I say a quick prayer before I get out there. But but the butterflies are part of I had a teacher once who was Milton Casalis, and he used to say, if you're nervous, that's your talent bubbling up. So, it's getting you ready.
Oh, that's lovely.
Isn't that nice?
That's lovely.
Yeah. And I have never not been nervous. So I haven't lost the thrill.
Okay, good. Yeah, I like it.
So, anyway.
And it is about the anticipation.
Yeah.
You want to do well not only for the play, but for the audience, because the audience is another character in the play.
That's the truth.
Absolutely.
And it's like a cold reading. You don't know what they're going to respond to. And so to be with that is really, it keeps us on our toes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what makes the difference when they say it's fun to do theater, because each night it's slightly different,
mm-hmm.
and it's slightly mm-hmm. different because of the energy of the people watching it.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's different every time. It's like you feed off of that.
You know, an interesting thing about that, I remember I was doing a play at the Pasadena Playhouse, and I walked on stage one night and lost every joke, lost every response from the audience. And I said to myself, what did I do here? And I thought, during the intermission, I better get back and get myself centered because I'm off. I'm off in my rhythms. I'm off in the music of the play. So I went back, and during that intermission, I did some deep breathing exercises. I did some movement. I got myself recentered, stepped on, and the minute I stepped back on, I was back in my rhythm. So it's an interesting process to go through that.
There's a little P.S. sometimes, too, when you don't get a laugh where you usually do, it's because you know you think it's coming. So you and you ruin it.
Well, you're both in Hazel and Bee in the In-Between. And so from what I understand, this is a LGBTQ story that is kind of in a very different from most of what else you would see. You don't typically see these stories from a perspective of an older generation. It's usually you only see that from like teens or young
just
adults.
Coming out.
That kind of thing.
Or it's about the people in their family reacting to it or not reacting well or whatever. And that's not in it at
all. No, it's about these two old gals' relationship.
Well, tell us a little bit about that and what it means to portray these characters and to be kind of on the cutting edge of something in that way. And also, can you tell us what, with Hazel and Bee in the In-Between, what is the In-Between without giving too much away there?
It's a space in our relationship and in the play where there's no definition for what it is. It's like otherworldly in some way, and it's not necessarily a fact, and it's not necessarily a fantasy.
How are you going to live your life when now society has put you in a nursing home and you're in that space where you know what the end game is and you're closer to it right now? And in that process, there's humor, there's pathos, there's love, there's caring, there's challenge, there's all of that. And that's what the play brings, I think, all levels of emotions and fun. A fun and a developing relationship.
And the memories of the past and how it contributes to our present relationship, because we each came from the time when it was like a bad thing to be gay. And so we have that in us.
Yeah.
And so my character actually doesn't, but but yours is clearer mentally. And I'm more magical, you know. And so that's kind of interesting. So we are able to review where we came from in a funny way, and yet transform into present time, where with the help of the third character, and played by
Tara.
She's the nurse.
She's our caregiver in the facility itself.
And she
comes in and out.
Validates the present state of affairs for us.
Yes. And keeps us moving forward.
Yep.
Well, so, Patty, I'm reading here how many decades you've been in the business, and it seems to me that can't be right. How many decades have you been in the business?
A lot. I started, honestly, my first job was a modeling job at 4.
Wow.
So I needed a lot of therapy. So
let me tell you, when you're older, you need it too.
Yeah, it says 8 decades.
I whispered wouldn't hear.
Wow, all right.
I have a friend who keeps telling everyone. She's 80. You know, and I think, what are we doing here?
Well, you're looking great. You're doing good. Kathleen, you're an Emmy winner. You've worked with legendary writers. So I wanted to ask you both, after all this experience, what impresses you about Zoe Stanton Savitz writing that made you forget that maybe she's only 25 years old.
That's easy.
Writing this story. Yeah.
Remember when Patty talked to you about how our wonderful directors set it up for us so we could be in a safe space and really express what we needed to express and ask our questions? Well, the writer is in the room with us.
Oh, yeah.
Zoe is with us, and she is listening to us, developing, trying to write with our particular personalities in mind, you know, and she, to witness her go through her process of writing and changes, and her gift for taking what she hears and then putting it on the printed page.
Yeah, immediately.
And it just astounds me. But you know what? It gives me hope for the future, because we're becoming so much, so technological. AI is encroaching in our professions as we speak. And so to be with a playwright who's in that vibrancy of life and exchange in what is real to all of us, which is communication and being in front of each other, I just think there's hope. Yeah. She gives me hope.
What's
for the future.
Inspired her story, without giving anything away, was the fact that she was so close to her grandmother.
Mm.
And her grandmother, who spoke Yiddish, and she speaks Yiddish, and Yiddish is not used very much, you know.
Yeah.
And
I never use it at all.
And we, thank God, don't have to. Our pronunciation was, you know, laughable.
Left a lot to be desired from two Irish gals.
But anyway, I think she honors her aging.
Yeah.
And knows that from her grandmother. Mm-hmm. That, you know, life doesn't end, you know, at a certain age.
Yes.
So it keeps going. Keep issues, you know, same issues pop up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the relationship between Hazel and Bea sits at the heart of this play. What about their friendship or their conflict do you think audiences will recognize in their own lives? And also along with that, what are you hoping that people will walk away and have gained from this, from seeing this?
For me, it's the universality of love.
Yeah.
And that love outlasts everything and is the soul of everything. And that's what you got to get back to throughout all the mishigas that's around it in our lives.
What I get is from this play is that people will walk away from with is the fact that each stage of life, there's acceptance. And they're going to watch a piece of our life as we accept our journey.
Yeah.
And nice that it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I like it.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you both so much for joining us today. When are the performance days and times?
They are on Thursday night. I beg your pardon.
We're going to do the play now.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Right now. All right. Yeah.
Joe, what's your name? Friday
at 7
and then Sunday at 3.
No.
Is it
Sunday at 11? We have the breakfast show. We kid around. We have the breakfast show. But there are three plays on Sunday. So we start them.
With a brunch.
Yeah,
as you
with
said.
11 o'clock.
11 o'clock.
A lot of people, they say, love that time, because then they have Sunday free.
Absolutely.
Or they can watch all three.
Yes.
Which highly encouraged. But yeah, get all the details at DurangoPlayFest.org. Get your tickets to DurangoConcerts.com. It's all at the Fort this year, right? It's at Fort Lewis College Concert Hall? Okay.
Yes.
Excellent. All right.
Thank you, Deacon.
Thank you very much. Thanks for joining us on here today. And I think we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show there. We're running a little long today. So we'll catch you tomorrow for more Breakfast Club, one more show this week, all right here on Ready Without Rules, 107.9, 92.9, The Point.